At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners, part two of three on Amanda Winkowski's shocking murder, the cover-up, and the high-level corruption involved. Up top, I want to apologize if this is confusing, but it simply is confusing, because her case involves so many twists and turns. But to make it a little bit easier to understand, I'm going to recap a few facts from last episode and state Amanda's mother's goal, which is to get Amanda's case investigated as a homicide and the perpetrators charged for their involvement in Amanda's murder. Last episode, you heard how Amanda was found, frozen and folded up in a residential trash bin. Yet her death was ruled an accidental overdose. So the timeline of events goes like this. Amanda is dropped off or potentially escorted into a house by a man named Adam Patterson, a former family friend, at 157 Spring Street in Buffalo, New York. This occurred on December 5th, 2008. This house is where Antoine Garner, main suspect, was currently staying. Her body was not found until January 9th, 2009. I ended last episode mentioning the multiple people's DNA found on Amanda's body, and we are going to come back to that, I promise, but now let's talk about Antoine Garner. Antoine is currently serving an 18-year sentence after pleading guilty to multiple crimes. Antoine Garner pleaded guilty to 3 counts of third-degree rape and 3 counts of third-degree criminal sexual act for raping and sodomizing a 16-year-old girl and impregnating her. And this is according to the Erie County District Attorney's Office. So third-degree criminal sexual act was established allegedly because Antoine didn't, quote-unquote, force himself on the 16-year-old girl. But he was charged with that because she was under the age of consent, and he was an adult, and she was a minor. I sort of find that hard to believe that it was mutually desired sex, especially when you hear what Antoine has done to other women and perhaps young girls, many we probably don't even know about. In my opinion, it's just really hard to believe that he didn't force himself on the 16-year-old girl, but again, that's just my opinion. Authorities did not learn about what happened to the young girl until 2011, when a paternity suit against Garner was filed in Erie County on behalf of the young mother. And then, stemming from an incident with a sex worker who was able to escape and survive, Antoine was charged with criminal sexual assault and strangulation. This woman went on an appointment with Antoine, but quickly grew uncomfortable with what he wanted to do, and she tried to run away, terrified of the 300-plus 6'5 man. But he grabbed her, and he strangled her until she blacked out. And when she woke up, he was on top of her. She eventually got away and knocked on a neighbor's door, got inside, and passed out again, but eventually was able to call 911. Thankfully, this unnamed 43-year-old woman survived, albeit with bruises and scrapes and, I'm sure, emotional trauma, but her story bears an eerie resemblance to what happened to Amanda. I want you to remember strangulation being an MO of Antwaun Garner as we continue on with Amanda's story. This episode is going to involve the police corruption, and then the final episode on Amanda is going to cover her first autopsy, exhumation, second autopsy, and the secrets hidden within her body. Now, whether Amanda was at Antwaun's house for sex work or drugs, it doesn't really matter, because Amanda was murdered. There's no two ways around it. And the evidence I will present to you next week will show that.
Garner is currently serving jail time for raping and choking other individuals.
No one has ever been charged in this case, stuffed into a garbage bag.
The Erie County Medical Examiner ruled the death an accidental overdose. There was evidence showing Amanda was strangled.
There is no one that can accuse this office not taking this case seriously.
Buffalo police maintain the case is active.
Garner is believed to be the main person of interest, but never convicted in the mysterious death of Amanda Winkowski. Garner admits Winkowski bought drugs at his home in December of 2008. She was later found in a garbage can across the street from Garner's home.
And Antwaun Garner has long been linked to the death of Amanda Winkowski, but has never been charged. Now he will go to prison for violent crimes in separate cases.
Everybody, no matter what they've done or who they are, they're somebody's daughter, they're somebody's son. They are somebody and they're worth fighting for.
In this episode, we are going to cover the day Amanda was found and the harrowing ordeal Leslie, her mother, went through. The day Amanda went missing on December 5th, 2008, her mom had spoken to her several times that morning as they were trying to arrange for Amanda to get blood work to enter a Suboxone clinic and to enroll in college. Adam Patterson, who she was living with, wasn't supportive of this as it seemed to throw a wrench in the routine and plan he'd had for Amanda. If she gets clean, if she betters herself, she won't be susceptible to the nefarious goings-on with him and his group of quote-unquote friends.
To get her blood work and her shot for school on Monday and the Suboxone clinic on Monday. Amanda was told, Mount St. Mary's, we needed an appointment, so we couldn't come in Friday, we had to go Monday. Then during this time, Amanda told me Adam wasn't supportive of it. He wasn't going to take her to the appointment on Monday to prove she was clean and going to start school. So I told her it wasn't a problem. This is for you. You will go to school and you will go to your appointment. That's when she told me, I said to Amanda, Amanda, why is Adam doing this? And she said, well, Mom, I have to supply him every night to live in his house. And I said, supply him? I have to go get his drugs before I come home from work in order to stay there. And if I am not here, who's he going to get to go get his drugs?
So let's go to the day Amanda was found. Now, Amanda moved in with Adam in early November. And when she did, her belongings were all over the place. Her shoes, her makeup stand, just regular girl items. But when Leslie saw the place on December 7th, 2 days after Amanda had gone missing, an ominous lack of items were there. A very stark contrast to the two truckloads Adam claimed she moved into his place in his deposition.
On December 5th, the day before, which would be December 4th, my daughter Danielle was at Adam Patterson's home. She saw all of Amanda's belongings. They were everywhere. And she had a makeup stand and her little makeup table. Everything was there, coats, boots, everything. When I come on December 7th, he has three items of my daughter sitting in front of me, separated. Makeup bag, a little one that you would carry in your purse, her purse, and then her phone charger. There is not one iota of another item in this house of Amanda.
It should be noted that Adam Patterson lived on the Tuscarora Indian Reservation in Niagara County, New York. And as a general rule, state laws do not apply to Indians in Indian country. Instead, tribal and federal laws apply.
I called 911, like 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes being in that house, seeing all Amanda's stuff gone.
Okay. Oh, God.
So I called 911. I wasn't waiting 2 minutes or a minute. We've already waited since Friday night. Give me a break. And here it is, Sunday night at 8 o'clock at night, and you're finally telling me she's gone somewhere. So, like I said, the sheriffs come because the reservation is a different country, and they tell me they cannot help me because he says, Adam Patterson, he took her to Buffalo. So you have to file a report with Buffalo.
So these sheriffs from the reservation arrive and are unwilling to get involved. And they inform Leslie that because Adam says he took her to Buffalo off the reservation, she needs to file a report there. So she calls 911, gets in touch with the Buffalo PD, and this is how it went.
On the reservation, and a man, a grown-ass man, told me he took my daughter to Spring Street and she never came out. And they said, when did he take her there? I said, December 5th, Friday night. I know it's Sunday night, but he just told me right now. And they were like, okay, ma'am, I don't know what we can do for you. Well, I know what you can do for me. Get my kid out of 157 Spring. And they said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We do not want you to go to 157 Spring Street. When you approach the area, you're to pull over and park and call us. The Buffalo PD told me to go to the corner of the street, Spring Street and Clinton, pull over and call us, and we will escort you to 157 Spring Street.
Okay.
It gets better because I have Alyssa in the car. Ken is driving. And Alyssa's my daughter, Ken's my friend, and Adam Patterson. Because he's going to get my kid. Like, I'm making
Adam Patterson's in your car?
In my car. I
Adam
take him with
in
us.
In your car?
In my car. Adam Patterson gets in the car with us. We don't know where Spring Street is. I've never even heard of it. Let alone, he's taking me to the east side. Like, what? You know, and I want to explain this to you, Rachel. Even if you had to go somewhere out in Buffalo, you don't drive through the east side. You would take any avenue, but they have to drive through the east side. You just avoid it. As the whole ride there, my daughter, Alyssa, is in the back seat with Adam. And he's like rocking back and forth. I'm sticking to my story. I'm sticking to my story. A drug deal gone bad. I'm sticking to my story. I'm sticking to my story. A drug deal gone bad. And I tell you the whole ride. And that ride to me, it probably is a half an hour, but that night it seemed like 10 hours. So
yeah.
We get there. And like I said, the whole ride, that's all he's saying in the back seat. I'm just like, you're sickening. I don't even know. You are sickening.
the whole time I'm saying, what did you do to my kid?
So you're actually vocalizing that to him. You're not just...
Oh, I am vocalizing it the whole time. And I am looking right at him and tears and just blatantly like, you are a piece of shit and you're not leaving my side till we get my kid.
Did it seem like he was high or something, or just guilty?
Just guilty.
Whew. Okay.
We park at the corner and I call the Buffalo Police Department, like they told me. And I look over, and maybe 4 or 5 houses in on the left, I'm watching all these people. And this orangish, red, jeepish tracker, something like a Ford Escape or a little Jeep or something. But the color sticks out to me because it's like reddish orange, you know? And there's a lot of people around it. And they're doing something in the trunk. So when I call the police, I tell them I'm at the corner. I'm waiting for the Buffalo police to take me to 157 Spring Street. But something really weird. I'm sitting in this parking lot watching a bunch of people put my kid in the back of a truck. Like you can just imagine what's going through my head. I said, and I don't even know if it's 157, but it's pretty damn close, because I could see on the corner of Spring and Clinton, it was like 130. So I knew 150 is like not far in. And they were telling me, ma'am, the person's house that you're at does not have a vehicle. So we don't know what you're watching. We're sure it's not your daughter being put in the trunk.
Now, it could have easily not been her daughter they were putting in the trunk. But imagine a mother's trauma. And also consider a mother's instinct that maybe that was what was happening. But regardless, she saw a large item being moved into a trunk and was being given the runaround by the police and possible suspects.
Brand new condo-like looking apartments. I'm sure you've seen them. They're beautiful. They're nice. They're not beautiful. They're nice. So it's very weird. I'm in the middle of the east side, and I'm just thinking, you're putting my daughter in this truck. Nobody's helping me. Where are the police? Like, you told me to call you. They put me on hold. They come back to the phone, and they said, ma'am, you need to go home. We already went to 157 Spring, and they've never seen a white girl. And I'm like, get the hell out of here. I'm going. And I think I hung up on him.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's a drug deal gone bad. Drug deal gone bad. I'm sticking to my story. A drug deal gone bad. I'm just like, you fucking moron. Really?
Yeah.
So as we pull out of the parking lot you know, on Spring and Clinton. There's a church, New Covenant Church, on the right. The condos are all on the left. The truck pulls away. Now I am freaking out because I'm thinking they took my kid. I don't care. They took something. So literally by that time, it's a minute down the road, we pull up, the truck's gone, all the people disappear. I get out of the car. By that literally minutes, the Buffalo PD pull up. And they're telling me, ma'am, get back in the car. We've already been here. They've never seen a white girl here. And I'm like, that truck just took my kid. That red-orange truck took my kid. Ma'am, there is no vehicle belonging to 157 Springs.
How does it discount what she's saying and what she saw due to Antoine not owning a car or having one registered to that address? It doesn't make any sense. So let's get back to Leslie on Spring Street.
They're telling me to get back in the car. I said, I'm not getting back in the car to go get my daughter. Adam Patterson gets out of the car. I tell Alyssa, honey, don't get out of the car. You'll get killed over here. It's that bad. And Ken gets out of the car. Adam Patterson's standing behind me. I'm screaming. 157 Springs. I want my daughter. And the police are telling me, ma'am, you can't do this. You can't do this. We are already here. We checked the house. There is no girl in that house. He never saw a girl. And Adam's behind me this whole time. And Adam's going, I took her here. She went in that house with Justice. And I'm like, Justice.
Justice is one of Antoine's street names. Well, how about Justice for fucking Amanda?
You can imagine, Justice. Okay. And I said, okay, you heard him. He left her here with Justice. Where is Justice? And they said, ma'am, will it make you, you've got to get out of the street. And I'm like, no, please open that door and go look. I want my kid. So they go inside. He comes to the door and he says, you cracker bitch. Because obviously everybody could hear me. You cracker bitch. Don't you think if a white girl came here, we would all know? We never saw a white girl. And stop calling my name because I'm yelling, Justice, give me my kid. The police said, ma'am, we're going to go in. We'll check the house. And will you be happy? And I was like, please just go get my kid. Please just go get my kid. I tell you, Rachel, I swear to everything. They walked in the front door, the two cops. Within 30 seconds, they walked back out the door and they said to me, ma'am, she's not here. They went in, shut the door, literally opened it back up and came back out.
How disrespectful. At least humor the grieving mother and spend a little time. Not just saying they've already searched the house within 30 seconds and saying she's not there, there's no evidence of her being there, and she's probably a runaway.
I'm standing there in disbelief. Like, I just can't believe this. I'm like, Adam, where did you take my kid? He said, here. I'm screaming. The white cop, that Officer Paul, says to me, can I speak to you for a moment? I'm hysterical. Rachel, I'm hysterical. I don't know what to think. All I want is Amanda. And, he said, ma'am, I've got to talk to you. Please come over here. And Ken goes, I don't think she's going to run up to the house. And I'm like, Ken, shut the fuck up. What? And he said, we have to talk alone. I was like, what is he doing? And he said, the snake is in your car, because by this time Adam had got back in the car. He said, I think we're at the wrong house. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to follow us, and we're going to detain Adam Patterson. I don't even know what detain is. I don't even know what I'm doing. But all I can remember is the snake is in your car.
So Adam Patterson has sat back in Leslie's car, and the cops are instructing her to drive him to where he will be detained. The high risk here is unfathomable.
We follow him to the Buffalo PD. I don't even know where it was because we came in the back way. We're all getting out of the car, and Adam Patterson starts screaming, you set me up. You set me up for murder. And the cop comes over and says, sir, stop talking to her, and you're going to go with us. We need to speak to you. And he's yelling, I set him up for murder.
Leslie is obviously out of sorts here because the word murder is now being thrown into the equation. Imagine a man screaming at you that you set him up for murder. Certainly, she suspected there was foul play. But to hear it in that moment?
And I'm yelling to the police, I have my daughter's purse. He tried to make me open it. I don't know what's in it. He's scaring me. I don't like him. I hate him. And the police are going, ma'am, just please go around the front door. You, your daughter, and your friend, and we'll talk to you up front. And I'm like, okay, like, probably not like okay, but okay. So they take Adam in the back door. We have to go around the front. I go around the front, and there's four cops in the window. And I'm telling them, he dropped my daughter off Friday night. It's Sunday night. He's had her purse the whole time. He left her here as a Jane Doe. I don't know what's in her purse. He had her phone charger. Me and my girls never leave our purse. Why does Adam Patterson have my daughter's purse and leave her in the hood? And I'm saying this. They take her purse. Now, mind you, I still am holding her charger and makeup bag. But they take her purse and they bring it behind the glass window. And he said, would you rather have us do it in front of you? I said, yes. My daughter. And it's my daughter's, yes. So he brings the purse back around, dumps it out on a chair. Rachel, the first thing I saw was 10 needles, all capped, all sealed. And I'm like, he's setting my kid up. He put those in there to make me think. He put them in there. He had her purse all weekend. The guy was yelling this. And they're laughing. Give us the needles. And they're looking at him. I said, don't you want to run them? They're just like laughing. And why are we going to run them? I said, because he put them in there to make her look like she, I don't know what, but it doesn't look good. They took the needles in front of me and threw them in the garbage can.
And this is where it gets extra disturbing. Diane Verdi's medical examiner for her first autopsy stated that Amanda died from an accidental overdose. 10 needles placed in her purse. Interesting. Yet the toxicology report we'll hear about next episode does not show evidence of the amount of drugs in her system that could cause death. And multiple medical experts weigh in on this. But what was found on Amanda, which we will also go into next episode, was evidence of several DNA profiles on and in Amanda. Trigger warning. Amanda was likely gang raped. And here's a quote from Buffalo News. We told the police we had been informed that Amanda was gang raped, beaten, and strangled. We were given names by these informants, and we passed them on to police. The DNA of the very people who we told the police we believed participated in the murder was found on Amanda's body. In addition, a New York State homicide detective who was taken off the case after Amanda was found 35 days later, at that point, he says goodbye to Leslie, Amanda's mom. But then, perhaps out of guilt or good conscience, he calls Leslie 4 months later in April of 2009. And he tells her, get Amanda's body exhumed. I was in the room when Diane Verdes and the autopsy was being performed. And somebody, which he will not state, came in and said, call it off, go home. This is an accidental overdose. Everyone, go home. What kind of high-level corruption is this? Especially because the homicide detective didn't want to mention who the person was that stated that, because he didn't want to lose his job. But he was willing to say this, and one can only assume that he's referring to Antoine Gardner. That monster murdered Amanda. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I love you. You guys are the best. I've had some awesome follow-up emails from past episodes. And if you know anything about this case, please feel free to email me at 7deadlysinnerspodcast@gmail.com. Love you.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.